It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
All right. Welcome to the show with the worst guys. My name is Malcolm Julie. We are all up in the Cliff Central building. Say what up, worst guys. Holla at the people.
Hello.
What's happening?
Yeah. Okay. Just let me put it out there. This is actually the first time we get all the worst guys in one room. Yeah.
Round of applause.
It's about time.
It took about a year.
Finally.
Okay, so just because we have this great privilege of having all the worst guys in one room at one time, we're just going to go around the room so you guys get each individual, you know, what exactly it is they do for the worst guys. And yeah, you guys get to get a better understanding of who we are and what we're all about. So I'm going to start on this side with you. Susie, tell them billionaire poet. What is that all about, brother?
Billionaire poet, what's up, y'all? I'm a poet. I spit that shit that people are afraid to say.
Always.
Yeah, that's what and we're trying to target those people that are intellectuals and don't just want to listen to that stupid stuff.
Yeah. What up?
Hey, what's up? This is John. I think I've been here before. I've introduced myself. Yeah. But I do the short videos and stuff for the crew. Yeah. While I'm in the process of doing that and nothing more. I'm not funny. I'm not nothing. So yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're making it as if the worst guys is all about comedy.
I just told you I'm a comedian.
Yeah, but it wasn't that though. I'm not trying to fire shots
or anything. I'm just saying. I'm joking. Yo, my name is Riabeto Sesele, otherwise known as Rehab. I've been on both of the other shows. So yeah, you guys pretty much already know me. But I'm a comedian, part of the worst guys. And yeah, so far, the one thing that I can say you guys need to look forward to is something that's happening on the 1st of April, but I won't say more.
Yeah.
Hi, what's up, guys? You're speaking to Loiso, otherwise known as Loy. Well, my job in the worst, guys, is pretty much act as a writer and control all the financial aspects of the worst guys.
Yeah. So that's us. This is us in the building now. If anybody ever asks you who are the worst guys, you can go back to this podcast on the date.
If you don't know,
now you know, nigga. Yeah.
Watch your language.
Hey, if it's an accent.
Yeah. That's why we're the worst guys, bro.
Yeah. So... just to get it out of the way, this is the hot topic of the day. Zuma's paying back the money. You know, we've all seen that shit. Zuma's paying back the money.
Wait, is that true?
Well, apparently.
Apparently.
Don't say apparently. We need to know for sure what's happening.
For real.
Look. Is it a go?
It's like whenever I say I'm going to pay back your money, do I ever pay it back?
Well, I should hope so.
Again, guys, we are the worst guys, so forgive us if we get a bit of our details wrong. But yeah, Zuma just came out and announced that he's willing to look at paying back the money from Nkandla. He didn't specify how much, if not all of it. So I guess people are wondering where's the money coming from?
Well, personally, I don't think he's going to pay back the money just because there's nothing that Zuma has shown me that he's a pretty cool guy who would do something like that, you know what I'm saying? But if he's going to, I don't know, do you think he's going to pay all of it back, John?
Oh, no, definitely not, dude. I mean...
I think it's part of a ruse. He's baiting us somehow.
Yeah, look, I mean, what I feel as though with the upcoming elections now, he's on the wrong side of the field. He's going to be like, okay, I need to get my acts together. And, you know, be on the right side of the political atmosphere. You're like, okay, I need these votes. I'm not trying to lose any more parts or whatever, or any more voters. So, obviously, I think it's just a play. It's just a play.
Yeah.
If he'll pay back the money, he probably will, but not all of it.
It can't be all of it. And even then,
it's a case of, look, the budget speech is about to come through. God knows the interest rates are going to go sky high and we're still going to get screwed all over. You know, it's just going to be taking more of our money and paying back in Canada.
For me, honestly speaking, this is just going to be like a meme, like a gaddy. Because he's just going to lure us all saying that I'm going to pay back the money. But it's always going to say in progress, like, or pending.
Yeah. The thing is with me, listen, the thing about Zuma that surprised me with this is that Zuma has never actually admitted to doing something and trying to fix it. you know, yeah, to rectify it. And he's doing that with Nkandla for the first time ever. Even he's been running for president, and he's now in a position where he's like, you know what? Let me actually pay these guys the money. So am I sensing a change of thought, or does he think? I don't know.
If so, it might be a bit too late.
You're right.
Yeah.
But do you think that's possible? Do you think that Zuma actually does have a conscience?
I think he does. Okay. No. Look, Susie, let's hear from you.
Eventually, you're like, you know what, I'm going to go to hell. But in hell, I need to chill and be nice. At least not have the last seat in hell.
Yeah.
Have that. Just
burn a little.
You know what I'm saying? Just burn a little bit.
There must be
people burning. And so he must be looking like, okay, Bin Laden's there. Whoever's there.
Yeah.
But come on.
Come on, please. Come on.
Let's have a little bit of faith in our guy.
Come on.
I mean, and another thing that's been thrown around is where is he getting the money? You know, people are saying he might be getting it from the Guptas. I say, so what?
Yeah,
if he wants to pay back the money
let's have it
and
back.
The Guptas want to give him money, then let them give him money. Yeah. We just want the money back.
He's been stealing from us. He can steal from the Guptas and then he can come back and give the money back to us. You know.
See, now then it becomes a problem then when he needs to pay them back. And cause
that doesn't concern us.
Maybe not. Who knows? But I'm thinking, let's talk about Zuma himself and what's happened, you know, in terms of his career. Because him being president is like the most lit career a human being could ever ask for. He has, obviously there's a lot of things that I don't like about him, but one consensus that I know amongst the youth in general is that he's one of the greatest hustlers of all time.
Can I just say something?
Go for it.
All right. No. When you look at it from a different perspective, I'm not saying what he did was right or anything like that. No, don't get me mistaken. I'm just saying, you know, he's never had this much money before in his life, you know? So he's just like a Justin Bieber, if you want to say, who just like goes ape shit as soon as they get a lot of money, you know, building in Kanda, just stealing all of this money, the scandals that he's had.
He's just like a baby on a playground. He's just like, yeah, man.
Yeah, you know.
How did I do this? I don't know.
No, I mean, it's like you say, you know, come on. I never had the money.
The thing
know?
Is with that is that I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about the constitution, the fact that it's obviously one of the most liberal constitutions in the world, and that's a great thing. But the fact that it's so liberal meant that somebody like Zuma could get into power, and that's problematic. How come there's no standard that says you at least have to have a degree? I'd say a postgrad degree, but at least have a degree if you're going to run for presidency. So in that sense, our constitution is pretty loose. But what do you think about that, Bellini?
Nah, I'm not going to agree with you.
Yeah. Say.
I have to... This concept that we all have to agree in life is actually messed up.
Yeah.
So firstly, he doesn't have to have a degree because there's lots of other people that... I mean, a lot of fucking billionaires don't have degrees, firstly. And let's look at Brazil. Okay. Brazil once had a president that didn't have a degree. And Brazil is not doing too bad, or hasn't done too bad.
Dude, you
know what I'm saying?
You're coming with that bullshit.
Okay. But on a more serious tip, on a more serious tip, let us also...
No, cut.
Let's not...
It's over.
Listen, you're talking shit now. Zuba, I'm saying you at least have to have a certain level, a certain standard where you're like, listen, this is the minimum requirement. Surely any job has a minimum required. It's not a business. A billionaire can run a business because you don't have to have a necessary skill set in order to run a business.
Yeah, but this Zuma, is a country.
Yeah, this is a country. There's a certain minimum requirement where you at least have to be able to engage on this level. Zuma doesn't know what he's doing in terms of like, look how he's fired ministers, etc. So it's problematic that there's no certain standard. So do you think there should be prerequisite or an altercation of the constitution in some sense, lawyer?
No doubt there should definitely be some sort of minimum standard, lower standard that just kind of make sure that we set a standard for who's going to be president and who's not. Because another kind of argument on his side is that people will say, okay, well, you know, our past, and you know, there weren't that many opportunities, but you look at Tatu Madiba had he was a lawyer. You look at our deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, who's an actuary. So, you know, I mean, I don't think that's a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I'm just saying, I agree with you in that sense. We've had this is obviously the worst. This is my personal opinion before I get crucified somewhere. This is one of our worst presidents, other than the apartheid president, because every president in apartheid was shit, obviously.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, because he was the best person to take the evil forward. So I'm saying, in terms of our president, this is the worst we've had.
Yeah, he's the first black shit president.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, why'd it have to be us? You know what I'm saying? Just getting a degree or something. But anyway, this is just our opinions as usual. If you guys want to join in the chats, don't forget to call us, you know, 0861-555-189. That's the number to call us on. It's 0861-555-189. Also, if you have comments on social media, you can hit us up at @_worstguys. And you can hit up @cliffcentral.com. And we're also on WeChat. If you guys want to message us, we can see your messages immediately and respond to you. So yeah, holler at us. Let's have a conversation with the entire world. You know what I'm saying? So what else is happening? Oh, it's Valentine's Day soon.
Hey.
who here has a Valentine's Day? Let's start with you here, Susie.
Now, let me just say something. I don't have one, but you have two types of people.
Okay.
People like me that have one, don't have one. I mean, I might have just fucked myself up. And then people who are heartbroken.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Now, when you're heartbroken, Valentine's Day is tough for you. It's sore.
Yeah.
Don't be that person. So, rather let it go.
So why did you get so deep?
Maybe he's heartbroken. That's why.
The energy levels were floating. John, let's hear you.
Hey, I'm not trying to get involved in nothing. I don't want to say anything yet. It's a week away, guys. I don't want to get myself into trouble. All I'm saying is, unfortunately, I'll be working on that particular day. But yeah, Valentine's Day is whatever, man.
You're not fazed by it.
I mean, I'm not fazed. I don't give a damn. It's just another day.
But is it because you're single?
Well, I think that's the thing.
We have to be aware of that. Is that single guys don't care much about Valentine's Day, obviously. But
could we say that a lot of guys don't, whether they're in a relationship or not?
Yes. Let's ask the man in a relationship, Ria. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Valentine's Day, boy. Tell us, what are your plans for Valentine's
Day? Good, dog.
Or are they a secret?
I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. Why guessing, dog?
So are you a Valentine's Day fan?
Huh?
Are you a Valentine's Day fan?
What?
No, you heard us.
Answer the question, sir, please.
Yeah.
He's saying it because he has to.
See, you're gonna get a lot of dudes into trouble after that.
I think generally speaking, guys are really not into that shit. You know, we do it because our ladies love it. That's the only reason why I would do it. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to be the reason you smile.
Look at this guy being all gooey here.
We just came out of January now. It's like, more expensive. Yeah,
hey.
Let me just stop. No, please take over.
Well, I think just to save you out and elaborate on John's point a little bit, there's two types of people. People who talk about their Valentine's Day affairs on radio and people who don't.
And people who get stuck in the middle.
Yeah. No, I feel you.
But the thing is, as well, you know, Valentine's has made it acceptable for women to just, you know, anticipate receiving something. And then when we don't do anything, then it's like, you don't love me. And I'm like, it's not that. I just forgot a specific day.
Not only that, are women required to give us gifts? Yes, no?
I don't know. Actually, remember, we used to exchange gifts in school, right?
Yeah.
That was the roughest time.
Only the coolest guys got gifts. Everybody else is chilling.
That was a rough time in life, guys. Yo. Sorry, bro. Used to say, spend $10, $20 sending roses and chocolates to this girl, and you ain't getting nothing in return.
I can't recall getting a gift for Valentine's Day.
Shame.
I can't. he's having, but I'm not fazed about it. That's the thing.
Yeah, no. You shouldn't be.
Yeah. It's not a thing to me. It's just a marketing scheme. Christmas or any of the other ones.
Yeah, on that, on a more serious tip, we need to uncover the truth about Valentine's Day and more of these occasions.
Yeah.
It's more of a, let's boost the economy, man. Let's get some influx going.
Yeah.
Let's get the people excited about something.
Yeah.
It's a global thing. Shops benefit. The third parties benefit.
Yeah.
Think about it this way. If a girl really likes you and you like the girl, you don't need it.
Capitalism, my boy. Capitalism is doing the thing in this world, I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. A lot of these are marketing schemes, you know. Easter.
Easter eggs
are flying out that time.
No, but that's also job creation. Do you know how many Easter bunnies go around into checkers? No, like seriously, I'm not even kidding.
Are you talking about the bunny aspect and the eggs aspect, or just that bunny eggs aspect,
that whole fantasy that we buy into, and we have Easter egg hunts, etc., etc. That's the whole thing that they want you to buy into in order for you to go.
What makes it worse is that they do it in phases. So as soon as Christmas was done, the back to school books came out, now that school has already started, now the Easter eggs are out in front. If you walk into Spar, it's Valentine's Day first, now it's Easter.
What comes after Easter? Then they take a break. Then they take quite a break. Let's spend the money that you guys.
It's all the April holidays.
Don't forget Father's Day.
Back to schools. Don't forget the back to schools. That comes in between terms as well.
Yeah, I feel you, dog. What were you saying?
Oh no, I was saying don't forget about Mother's Day and Father's Day. You're gonna be chilling.
Oh yeah,
like,
hey,
you have to think like, you have to go get my mom something. Which is like, I mean, it's okay. I mean, your mom.
I mean, like, you can give her a gift at any time.
No, but I think for like Mother and Father's Day, clicks is the best.
Clicks.
Yeah, clicks is the one. Guys, if you don't have too much money, clicks. Clicks is the place to go.
I read something that really changed my mind yesterday. They were like, if there's lots of people, you crying about not having a Valentine's on Valentine's Day, but there's people that didn't have mothers on Mother's Day, and there's people that didn't have fathers on Father's Day.
Are you going through an existential crisis or something? Because this is very, very deep. Like, nah, dog.
See, this is what happens when you go home.
It's the poet in it.
Yeah.
I have to, dog. It's part of my...
Shop, for real. But let's not be dark about it, man.
You're killing the vibe.
No, you have to have duality in life.
Yeah. No, I feel
you. Just happy clappy about Valentine's Day. I have to bring it down a bit.
We're indifferent, to tell you the truth. Not really like happy clappy.
All right. So there was one thing I wanted to talk about. Taxis, man. Because like we got cut in on a taxi on our way. You know? As usual. So now I want to speak to you, y'all fellas, because we're all young black men, and we've all, you know, been in taxi. We've all had our taxi experiences. So I wanted to find out from you guys, do you guys actually think that the taxi industry as a public transport industry is sufficient and efficient for the country at the moment? I'll start with you there, Loy.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, let's just keep it simple. The majority of SA's workforce takes taxis to work. I mean, they're the most efficient, whether you like it or not. So we need them.
And they're also really cheap.
That too.
A taxi to town is max going to cost you 12 rand, no matter where you are in Joburg.
Hey, inflation, man, 12.50.
Everybody can afford to get on the hard train. And the thing about it is that the hard train doesn't go to everywhere.
Or take an Uber.
Or take an Uber for that matter, you know. So I think it definitely works. Even though you get the occasional ones that piss you off. Cut in line or whatever the case is. Skip a red light.
Can I tell you the truth about that?
Yeah.
In my travels in the taxi, I absolutely love it when they dodge traffic. I love it. Pure fire. I'm trying to get to work. These guys are in the way. So the taxi driver, he makes a plan. And the thing is about it is that it's not just me being selfish, that there's so many more people, but I guess everybody has to get to work.
There's nothing worse than getting into a taxi that follows the rules.
Come on, please. You have to break the rules, bro. And then you have to get your regular 702 callers like,
I can't believe it, John. There's another taxi driver just cut in front of me. When is this gonna end?
I just don't get why people still bother hooting. I understand for your insurance and all that, but like, if you can see what it's doing and you can anticipate it, why are you making noise?
Yeah.
Like, think about it. You get pulled over at the roadblock, but this guy cruises past the roadblock.
The funniest is when that person in the whip loses their shit. And the actual driver is just like, what's going on with this person? Is this person okay? Like, he doesn't give two shits about you. He doesn't give a damn how you react. He's just here to do a job.
But I want to touch on what he said now about them not getting touched by the Metro cops. In my opinion, I feel like the taxi industry is almost on the same level as a mafia. There's some sort of underground, you know, bosses that run the actual industry. And I've never been pulled over in a taxi. and I've never seen a taxi get pulled over. And I think it's because they almost have an understanding. It's like, hey, you know, if you gonna come with this fine shit, I'm gonna take you to the main man, and you know your life is over. I think there's something like that going on. What do you think, Susan?
Yeah, it's true. Haven't you watched this by? They cover it all, they tell the truth, Baba.
You see, no, but you can't always believe TV. But I'm saying that perspective, I think is definitely
I just want to put in a disclaimer in case some of these mafia guys.
I never actually thought of it that way, to tell you the truth. But now that you bring it up, you're actually right, dog.
I'm not gonna lie.
My uncle owns taxis, boy. Yeah. And then he ain't never been stopped before.
Yeah.
Now I think about it, it's like, okay, no. Something's going on here. And something is going on.
Keep in mind that, like, I've been pulled over, and then the guy asked me, where's my triangle? So I'm looking in the boot, and I'm thinking, all of a sudden it's not here. And I'm like, hey, dude, it's not here. He wants to give me a fine.
Yeah.
Your car is not roadworthy. I'm like, bro, have you seen this taxi that has a hole in the middle?
Most taxis are trash. Like, let's be honest. Unless
you're
it's
telling
the
me my car isn't roadworthy. There's something deeper going on.
The old minibuses, those are the ones where you're like, hey, when you see that taxi coming up, when you put your finger up for town, you're like, oh, fuck. Could I not get a Quantum this time?
It's the equivalent of getting an Iveco bus. Like, yeah.
Or Venture for Luca.
Venture. Nah, but taxi drivers are hot because they push composure, bruh. Think about it. Whenever you drive past cops and you start to trip out, you know, you're like, shit, I ain't got my seatbelt on or something.
Yeah.
You're going to get pulled over.
Those guys
have to practice composure the whole time. There's people hooting at them, you shouting.
No, it's because they're full of shit, dog. Like, when they... I've seen lots of people zap taxi drivers and they just go like, foot sec. A lot of the times, people don't even realize that when you hoot at taxi drivers, the people in the taxi are laughing at you because they know it's like, why are you gassing, dog?
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
In light of this all, you know, because Lloyd touched on the majority of the workforce in South Africa commuting via taxis, right? That's what bosses and managers and all of these people need to understand, is that when somebody like myself is late, you know, hey, bruh, I have to. Back in the days, I worked to get my car. Let me tell you that, okay? But, like, it's madness, the lines that you have to wait. I mean, then you get told, no, you should just wake up earlier. I mean, do you know what time I wake up to get to work at 9? If I had to get to work at 9, I have to wake up probably at like 5:30.
To get
to a taxi on time.
Yeah.
I still have to walk.
Yeah, that's the thing about taxis. There's a lot of walking involved.
Hey,
you have to be a soldier.
I completely understand where you're coming from. You know, some bosses need to empathize and understand what's going on. But at the same time, work is work, guys.
Yeah.
Business is a business.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair enough.
All in all, irate, we actually have an efficient public transport system.
Yeah.
Because the taxis even run relatively late, you know what I'm saying? So it's something that we need. I wish the taxis were cleaner and more like roadworthy. I really do. But, you know, for the most part, you get to your destination safely. I mean, I'm still alive. And if you're driving a normal car, normal cars get in accidents too. People are always talking about how taxis are, you know, going to be, if you get into a taxi, you're going to get into an accident. If you get into your car, you're likely to get into an accident. It's all the same. We're all living on eggshells. But the last thing I wanted to say about taxi is actually how often do you see, let's say, white people at a taxi rank? And they, for some reason, white people seem to think that we care.
I was just about to elaborate on that point. Like, they need to all the white homies out there taking taxis, just know that the guy in the taxi is living his shitty life, going to his 9-to-5 and having to worry about his kids. He doesn't
give a shit about you.
There's a white guy in the taxi.
Get in the taxi and go to where you need to go. Yo, we're going to take a break right now, but holla at us if you have anything to say. I think we're pretty having a lit conversation right here. Join the worst guys in the conversation at the worst, the underscore worst guys, and at cliffcentral.com.
Keeping it real on cliffcentral.com.
Yo, you're back with the worst guys.
What's up, people?
Yeah, man, so we've been having a pretty lit conversation about a whole lot of shit. My name is Malcolm Julie. I'm your host for the day, and we're just going to talk some more, you know. But now we feel like we gotta get deep on y'all, because we got the billionaire poet here. He's been going in on us today. So we're going to actually give him the opportunity, you know. Just something with a little bit more substance. I just wanted to find out from you guys and from us, obviously, as the worst guys, you guys out there, call us if you have any opinions on it on 0861-555-189. But I just wanted to find out, what percentage of people do you guys think are actually living their dreams? Can I start with you, Ariam?
Wow.
Percentage?
I'm going to say about 20% at the most. 20% at the most, yeah.
I'd like to go lower. Because from what I've seen, a lot of people live a life they think is a good life or their best life, but... there's so much
deep
more
down
to
inside.
You. Yeah. There's something else that you've always, you know, strived to do, wanted to do, wanted to be. And I find that quite problematic. What is it about humans and society that we are capable of doing whatever we want, but the most of us don't? What is it about society, Susie? Can you drop some bars?
All right, it's fear.
Yes.
It's fear of the unknown and just generally fear of upsetting the status quo and upsetting people that, like, upsetting your mom. If you all of a sudden say, listen, I'm not going to go find a normal job. I can speak because I'm going through this right now.
Yeah.
I'm interning right now. And it's like, I want to go do my poetry. I want to be out here. But it's like,
yeah,
to tell your mom's like, yo, you just invested a hell of a lot in my education. I'm going to go do something that's slightly, but not so related to it.
Yeah.
So there's that fear and balancing it. I think that's the biggest one.
And do you think fear of failure as well? Not fear as in I'm scared to actually do it, but the fear of failing once you've started following your dreams. Do you think that's what stops people from reaching that goal? Or because a lot of people do try. I'm sure a lot of people do try, but...
But at the same time, another problem with society is that we have this thing of breaking people down who do try.
Yeah.
Mm, no doubt. Yeah.
And it's really difficult to get to that level where you start being... the person that you saw yourself being when you started dreaming about the things you're dreaming about. So for me, what I feel is that you can't give a shit. You have to do the thing that you do the way that you do it. And the only requirement is that you do it well. That's the only requirement.
The thing is, it's a balance. Like you're asking what the problem is. It's a balance of the fear of failing. And then there's also the fear of succeeding. It's like, what now that you've done it?
Yeah.
Where do you go
from
there?
Yeah.
I think sometimes there are a lot more factors involved in it. You know, most of us over here in this room, to a certain extent, we are privileged. But you get people who aren't as lucky and end up having a job at the end of the day. But
okay.
They have things happening in the background. You know, like back at home, they're the sole providers or whatever the case is. Or you are unfortunate. Sorry, not unfortunate. Some people might see this as something unfortunate, but I mean, every child is a blessing. You know, you might have other responsibilities that you need to attend to, and it might be a case of, all right, I need to get this money somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
I have to put my dreams on hold because I have so many things that I need to get done, so many people that I need to look after. You know, okay. I'm not just thinking about myself anymore, even though sometimes in this life you need to be selfish.
Yeah.
But there are more factors that play a role in...
Okay, I get you, but can I stop you there? I think that's a bullshit excuse. I think it's a cop-out. If you do work hard in anything and you do it well, eventually you'll start getting money from it. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you say you have children to take care of, but there's a way. Love finds a way, because you following your dreams means that it's coming from a place of love. It's coming from your heart, and that's what's around the universe. That's the center of the universe. So I'm saying love is what you need to be following. Love won't leave you. If you're following your dreams and you love what you're doing, all the things that you love and all the things that you are tend to come around and surround you. You know what I'm saying? We've been reading this book recently called The Alchemist. I'm sure a lot of you have read it. It's by Paulo Coelho, and it's insane. It's a fable about following your dreams, right? He has a couple of dreams and he tries to find out what they mean. And he starts to follow his dreams and he goes to Egypt to find his treasure. So it's the understanding that through the process, there's always going to be a struggle. There's always going to be something that's not ideal. And what people don't understand is that that happens in your boring job as well.
You know? You go through the same ordeals that you would following your dreams when you're going about on your normal 9-to-5.
Yeah, there's always going to be problems.
Another aspect that we actually haven't touched on, the reason it's probably between 10 and 20%, you know, in terms of people who actually follow their dreams, is because a lot of people, quite contrary to popular belief, don't know to this day what their dreams are. I mean, speaking from personal experience, you know, you may have an idea, but you don't have that gut feeling inside that maybe your friends or other people have for a certain, you know, field. Yeah. So that plays a huge role into
also there's too many options for a lot of people. That's what I see. But also at the same time, people like to limit themselves to one avenue. If you're an accountant, you're an accountant until you die. We are versatile people. We are human beings. We can do a whole lot of things. Look at us as a group, for example. We are all talented group of people. We've got musicians, we've got poets, we've got comedians, we've got writers, we've got news readers, we got everything you could want. This is a group of 5 people. You know, we could, you could do so much with that depending on which direction you choose to push your energy towards. That's the ultimate issue I have, is that the direction which people put their energy towards is not the direction which they truly want or would prefer than a job. Because if you're working at Checkers the whole day, you're working hard. That's like 10, 12 hours, however long the hours. You're working really hard, you're working shitty hours, and it's a waste of your energy because at the end of the day, you're still not even getting that much money.
You know, it's on that note.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at it in the sense of you work a 9-to-5 and you say to yourself, no, I don't have time to push for whatever I want. If you left your 9-to-5 and you pushed whatever you want to push, your own passion, right?
From 9-to-5.
From 9 until 5, the same way that you would have at your normal job, you'll succeed without a doubt.
Yeah, but I think we're really, really glossing over John's point about the fact that really people have different, you know, responsibilities. We may not, us being 20-something year old males,
because we may like not
know, we may not know what they're going to, but people have responsibility, whether it's, forget about kids, whether it's looking after extended family or, you know, fulfilling requirements you've always had to, you know. So I mean, we can't just say, oh well, just drop that and, you know, just follow, you know, your passion. That would be the goal, but unfortunately that's not how the life works.
But at the same time, I see it in the sense of there's always going to be difficulties and there's always going to be responsibility that you'll, you know, acquire along the way.
Okay, so with you, I'd like to say, do you not believe that if there's a will, there's a way?
Look, I certainly do, but I will say that it doesn't come for everyone. No. That's what I will say.
Oh, so it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not one rule.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. Okay. Not everyone gets a fair chance, unfortunately.
But you get a chance.
Or ever will.
That's the rule. You get a chance. The fact that you are here.
Not
the
always.
Fact
that you so are basically alive. You're saying, like, because in my eyes, there's nothing that separates us from, like, there's nothing that separates you from, if, like, from John Stewart. There's nothing that separates John from
Idris Alba.
Idris Alba.
Idris, you know, Alba in the room.
Whatever you want to be, whoever in that field, your idol, you know, there's nothing that separates you from that person except your work ethic.
Yeah, but then what about the guy who's less privileged, who's living, you know, in the farms,
he has to take care of
all of these people that have made it? Well, the majority of them, all right, especially the black individuals, they've come from nothing to something. You hear them talk about their own plights.
Struggles, yeah.
Have you ever heard the phrase, it's sometimes who you know, not exactly what you know?
Exactly. That's what we're glossing. Mm-hmm. You guys are right.
You're completely right.
Yeah.
But we're really glossing over the fact that not everyone gets the same opportunities, if any.
Yeah. No, that is true. The level of equality is a problem. Yeah. So for a lot of the times, it's hard for the black people in poverty-stricken areas to come out of that because they are limited by a lack of education, for example. I think we are educated and that's why we understand these types of concepts. But a lot of the time, people our age, even living in the Kasi or living in the rural areas, have no ideas of the concepts that we're speaking about right now. And it sounds unbelievable, but it's true. People, like when I go back home to the rural in Mpangeni, it's a completely different lifestyle, completely different. There's no electricity, there's no lights, but I can tell you
they're happy
in some sense. They are happy, and I guess at the end of the day, that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
If you are happy, not everyone has to be a superstar, You know what I'm saying? Not everyone has to be a superstar.
Somebody has to be a fan.
Yeah, somebody has to be there to listen.
Look, I think there's a lack of purpose. Like, higher purpose is one of the most important things.
That's exactly what Loisa was talking about in terms of not knowing what you want to do for your future. Because that is a big deal for a lot of people, especially in our age. Because 22, 23, 24, I think that's the age where you actually start to decide what your life is going to be and how you're going to make that happen for the most part. You can do it at any point in your life. But I mean, this is the crux now. It's like, okay, if I do this, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next 10 years or so. You know, this is going to be my career if I'm, you know. So for the most part, we need to understand that even though we are at this critical point, a lot of us don't understand where to go. And that's a difficult thing to try and find because you can't force it. You know, for me personally, it just happened. You know, it was almost like an epiphany. It was literally an overflowing feeling over my body. And I can't force that on you or on anybody. I can't say, why haven't you felt your calling yet? Why haven't you felt your purpose? I can't do that for you. But the thing is, everybody has one. Because the mere fact that you're here means that you've got that. People say some people are stars, some people are chosen to be something. I think we are chosen by virtue of being here. Yeah. Anybody who's not alive.
Everyone has something to give.
Yeah. Everybody has something to give.
The thing is, you just have to listen in life. Not listen in terms of using your ears, but also watching your experiences.
And your instinct.
The failures that we've taken a lot of L's, but those L's are sometimes telling you that this is not the right direction, bro. Change your direction and go this direction. Look, how many of us have taken L's?
That's the thing that I'm saying. Everybody takes L's. It's not the L's. If you haven't failed, you'll never succeed. It's that simple.
Hey, that means Meek Mill is on the way up.
No, I think
he's too far gone.
He peaked way too soon, way too soon. But yeah, guys, if you want to chip in on the conversation, hit us up on this number at 0861-555-189. Yeah, man, follow your dreams, guys. Well, that's my thing. I'm saying everybody needs to do what they feel in their hearts deep inside is what you were meant to do while you are here. And you may not have a clear idea, but you have a vague one. I mean, your instinct speaks to you, your heart speaks to you. And I think as we grow older, our fear starts to accumulate and we start to feel like maybe we don't deserve this or this is not what was meant for us. And we cover that up with all the other bullshit that we do, Christmas, Easter, fucking whatever. Yeah. So we need to be able to listen to ourselves. That's, I think, a lot of people struggling with knowing themselves and finding inner peace with themselves because we're bombarded all the time by this shit. We really are. And there needs to be a sense of calm. Because there's just too much going on around us. But yeah, we've actually spoken about this for a lot longer than I thought we would. But we wanted to talk about something more light. But don't be afraid to chip in. If you still want to go back to this topic, call us. Hit us up on Facebook. It's Cliff Central. Twitter at CliffCentral.com. And with the Worst Guys, it's @_worstguys. And the number again is 0861-555-189. But on a lighter note, what do you guys think about, you know, dating in the workplace?
Oh boy. Yeah, mood change.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Guys,
don't do it.
Is it not bound to happen? Because you are in this room. Yes, Let's say you're in a room with males and females who are attracted to each other just by laws of nature. And now are we gonna just ignore that?
Everyone just got excited.
Can I just say something, right? you know why there's a high chance of it happening? Not saying that I've done it. I'm just saying there's a high chance.
Disclaimers.
You have to put out. No, because think about it. You work a 9-to-5, 5 days a week. That's 9 hours of your time. 5 days a week. So you've only got, I'd say, maybe a good solid 5 hours with your family back at home and the weekend. You see these people more than you see your own family. Oh my gosh. Something's bound to happen.
Yeah, and the thing is as well.
Not saying I did.
The thing is as well, you spend all this time with these people at work. And also you create bonds. You create connections. You find people who have the same thing, feelings as you, or same thoughts. And they read the same books or listen to the same music. You find connections with people. And that makes the tension even worse, you know. And what do you think about the consequences? Why should we not do it, John? You said don't do it. What are the actual consequences of dating in the workplace?
I've seen it like this past year alone. Yeah. In the workplace, I've seen a couple of relationships take place, and I mean it's been hot. Obviously, at first it's good, but at the end it ends up, look, whether you're working in the same department, be it in finance or whatever the case is, or different departments, it may work. It may work, but
it probably won't.
From what I've seen, how these relationships have ended up, is they haven't been pretty.
Yeah. Sometimes what usually happens? Has somebody gotten fired? Has anything happened?
In most cases, it was like, okay, a manager or somebody dating kind of like a subordinate or somebody who's like part of the line staff.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's kind of difficult because if let's say I as a manager, I'm dating a girl, and then she
is this in the food services industry, for example?
I don't think it's. I think any industry. Yeah. It's a case of she breaks my heart. Am I going to be able to draw the line between what is working, what is not? Am I going to be able to focus? Be like, okay, this is this girl that broke my heart. Am I going to have to be a dick about it now at work? You know, am I going to be able to differentiate between the two? You know, it's like, okay, is this really how I feel about it, whatever the case is.
Do you think that constant interaction is also probably a cause of that tension? Sometimes, even if you don't necessarily like the person, it's just like, yeah, I've been once.
No doubt. I mean, if you're in a drought someone at work wears a pair of tight jeans. I mean, like, you, hey, what are you going to do?
What are you doing?
By the way,
I want your body. You got a big old fat ass.
By the way, guys, are we making a correlation on hookups and just like casual one night flings or are we talking strictly relationships?
Dating, hooking up, fucking, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is, that the interaction, the male and female interaction in the workplace, essentially is what I'm talking about.
For me, I can say I don't like that shit because the people at work don't know how to shut the fuck up. They don't know how to shut the fuck up, man. I'm a very private person. I don't like my business known all over the place. Shut the hell up. It's between me and you.
I think that's a personal beef with someone, eh?
I apologize for my language, but like, honestly, bro, I mean, people just need to keep quiet if it's between two people.
True, no doubt.
It doesn't have to be between the whole squad, like, you know, because obviously girls always tell their friends, always.
Yeah, but so do guys though.
Depends who you are.
Come on,
all I'm saying is I don't want my business at work.
I think that's the gem of the day. People at work just don't know how to shut the fuck up.
There's never been a time
where there's been a hookup at work and people don't eventually find out. People eventually find
always.
out. Yeah. And I think that's the problem, is that people try to keep it a secret because it is work, and they know,
it's kind of frowned upon.
Yeah, it is frowned upon. And that secrecy also boils it over in its own sense.
Since John is out here confessing, I need to confess too, man. I must say, guys, I have a crush on one of these managers at work. That lady looks amazing. What do you guys think I should do? It's Valentine's coming up. Should I just like keep my feelings locked in? Or must I express myself?
Express, darling.
You're the poet. Go tell her, spit some.
Serenade her all over the office.
Exactly. Send her some flowers from your desk to her desk in the same
anonymous
office.
Or should I put myself on?
Maybe one. You should get involved in Valentine's Day. You see, now you send it as a secret admirer, and then you just be like, "So, how was your day? Did you?" I personally think it's always gonna happen. I don't think it's a good idea, but it's like it's just one of those things.
No doubt, there's no stopping.
I think it should end at the one night stands. It mustn't progress.
I agree.
You always escalate.
If it was a good night, it's tough leaving it as a one night thing.
You want a rebound.
If it was really good. What if it was something you want more than once? Imagine if I told you you can only eat cheesecake once and never again, but you have to see it every day.
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay, Mark. So I tell you right now, Jessica Alba standing in front of you, you can only have once, or you can only have never again in your life.
No. The comparison you're making is that I can have Jessica up now, but then every day I see her walking past and I'm there, khaling with my mouth open.
So would you rather khal having not tasted?
I'll taste, but I'm saying I'd like to taste and not how, but you're not, you're losing your track of thought, dog. You're not going on the same analogy. But yeah, I wanted to talk about the hot and dumb, you know what I'm saying? You know, because we see a lot of people that are beautiful and we find them attractive and we're like, whoa, I'd like to engage.
Flame.
Yeah, flame. But
there's no depth.
There's no depth. There's nothing that you can actually talk about. You know, you have thin pillow conversations. You know, imagine sleeping on a thin pillow. It's not less. It's not less. So I want to ask you, like, what would you rather, firstly, have, like, as a female? Would you rather your girl be, like, ugly and smart? Or, okay, let me not say ugly.
I was just about to say
ugly.
Average.
Okay, let's say average. Smart or, like, hot and dumb. But when I say dumb, I'm saying, like, Jay-Z dumb. Jacob Zuma dumb.
Oh.
Oh, ho. No.
It's your boy.
I don't holler at hoes, bro. No ways, bro. But what would you say?
I think there's no doubt that I'd rather take a average, but dumb chick.
Smart. Average but smart. Yeah.
Hey, you're just going for all of the cons.
Let's go in hard. She's ugly. Mashed toes even. Her toes are not even
nice. I take
a
dumb one, hands down.
A dumb hot one, you take a dumb.
Ah, no, dog. Looks are gonna fade. Don't give a damn. Give me the ugly girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brains over everything.
You gotta have ugly kids, dog.
No. What? Me? Never.
So brains over everything for you as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for brains because this Mac can do wonders.
Alright, we are the worst guys. My name is Malcolm Julia. I've been your host. Thank you so much for listening. We out. Peace.
Yes.
It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.